Let us all say amen. And that is the hope that when this life is over, we've done what God has required of us to do, and we can have a new life. Thank you for that song this morning. Amen. I want to say good morning to everyone and welcome this morning. I'm thankful to the Lord for another opportunity to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm thankful and privileged to stand before you this morning and to share with you from the Word of God. Amen. I want to thank all the brothers that have thus far that have served on this morning. Thank you for your participation and your volunteering yourselves and being available to serve on this morning. On this morning, I want to go back to one verse from last time that I was before you. Let me get there with you. There's a key verse that I want to look at as I studied this, and the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this letter. And again, I just like to remind us that this letter Paul wrote was one letter. However, man has divided it so we can be able to go to chapter and verses. But there was one letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, about Timothy being the minister there for the congregation that he would serve for in Ephesus. And I want to look at this verse 15 before I get into our lesson on this morning, because I want you to see the relationship of what Paul said to the women in verse number 15 as we look at what Paul is going to say to the men. And so he said in verse number 15, he said, notwithstanding, she, talking about the woman, shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And so in that context, I shared that the word childbearing means bearing children, or it talks about the duties of motherhood. And so I want to share again, as I said on last week, that this is not an inferior role that the wife has to the husband. Motherhood, as I said last week, is the quiet life that is performed from the home. But now, I want us to see some things as we look at our lesson on this morning. Mothers are given the responsibility of instilling virtue, morality, religion in their children, prepping them for life and the hope of salvation. So mothers are given the responsibility to watch after, to look after that child that is growing up. They're also given the responsibility to care for and protect that child that's growing. You also would like a mother to have the experience in raising children so they can do those things that are best for the child. Amen? Yeah, so Paul said that to the mother. And I want us to see that as we look at our lesson on this morning. So that's what Paul said to those women, married women, that are those that have, that are mothers, and the responsibility they have, and I'll say the responsibility of developing someone for heaven, is a great responsibility. Amen. To take that child and try to cultivate, develop, mold that child to grow up to be a citizen in this country. Also, one that will follow the Lord when they grow up. Through your example, we found, as we talked about Grandmother Eunice and Lois and how they raised up Timothy. And so I want us to see that as we look at our lesson this morning. So the lesson are to brothers, but it's also to the church, because sisters are involved in our lesson on this morning. And so we want to speak from the subject found in verse number one that was read in your hearing. If a man desire the office of a bishop, this is the will of God, that every congregation have leadership. Yeah. That's God's will. That's my desire, that we have leadership, in biblical leadership, in this congregation. And I want to look at this morning, as again with text preaching, just preach the text, it's there. And so we need to look at, I want to look at us and let us get a clear understanding of what we should look for, because we are the ones that give consent. And I say that in my message. It is the congregation that gives consent to the men that will be appointed as elders in the church. Yeah. You have to give your consent. So you need to know what to look for. You need to know what to look for. And again, my desire is to do the Lord's will here where we serve. Paul wrote to Timothy, and we recall it 1 Timothy 3 and 1. Paul said, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Understand this. The word bishop is a work. It's not a position, and it's not a title. It's a work. Paul said that. He desired a good work. The Apostle Paul then gave the character of the persons suitable to perform the work. There may not be a more important work in the Church of Christ. Paul gives the qualifications for those in leadership. First, I want to look at, so we get an understanding, we see the word bishop, and we use the word elder to refer to that person. But I want us to see clearly what the Lord says from the scriptures. Again, when I stand before you, I very seldom will try not to try to pronounce a Greek word and mess it up. But sometimes I try to say it so we can get an understanding of what the Lord said. But the first word is the word bishop. Now, you have two English words mean the same thing. The word bishop and overseer mean the same thing. The word, the Greek word, and you English teachers, be careful with me. Don't beat me up, but I'm going to try. The word is episcopus. It is to look or to watch over. A person who watches and directs the work of other people. He oversees. Acts 20:28. One responsibility. This man, or these men, because they have to be in plurality. Yeah, they have to be in plurality. Let me show you. Go to Acts 14:23, so we can share that. Even though they talk about a single position, it's plurality. You see that. Acts 14:23. I have you use your Bibles, and then we'll come back to where we are now. Acts 14, and the verse is number 23. Luke wrote in the text, note what he says at the beginning. And when they had ordained them elders, y'all see that? That's plural. In every church, that is singular. So the text teaches us that elders must be in plurality in every church. Yeah. That's the Lord's will. Yeah. Can't have no single elder. They have to be in plurality. Elders in plurality. So again, one of the responsibilities is that they oversee. It is their responsibility to watch over the flock. That's their responsibility, to watch over the flock and to direct the work of the church. These are men for this position. Secondly, the Bible says in Acts 20:17, the term we're more familiar with. The Bible says that from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and he called the elders of the church. We're more familiar. We generally don't use the word bishop. Very seldom use the word overseer, but we use the word elders. The word elders come from the Greek word presbyteros, and it means, it speaks of the spiritual maturity of the person, a presbytery. That's 1 Timothy 4:14. That's where the English word comes from, presbyteros. So when you talk about an elder, you're talking about, secondly, these men, are those that are spiritually mature. They're spiritually mature. And Paul will correct that in the text when we get there. But these are men that are spiritually mature. Now, the Bible doesn't give an age, but it gives qualifications. They're mature. Spiritual men, the Lord says. And so we use the term elder. So that's the other two words. So you have two words plus another two. So that's four. So the Bible gives us six English words for the three Greek words that we find in the original text. So again, these men must be mature men. I'm looking at somebody that's mature. I can see the wisdom, and he gives characteristics of qualifications of that. So that's the second. Thirdly, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I am an evangelist. I am a preacher of the gospel, the word of God. I am not a pastor. So when you talk about those, and sometimes you'll find those that come out of the world, come from denominationism, they'll say pastor. They use the word pastor. But that's why you want to teach correctly. Amen? I am not a pastor. I have a desire to be a pastor. I'm an evangelist. But you do have pastors. That's the other word. The word is poimen for pastors. And it says that person is a shepherd who cares and protects the sheep and has the responsibility to guide as well as feed the members. See, that's where motherhood comes in. Mothers have to do those things. Make sense? That's what Paul said in verse 15. Then he talked about a man serving, a shepherd. You care. You protect the sheep. You guide the sheep. You need men that's going to care for the members. Sometimes you have sheep that get sick, sheep that go astray. That's where shepherds come in. They go in and find the sheep. Look for the sheep. Where you are? Where you been? I've been missing you. I'm concerned about you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Show you where the word, the same word where we get the word feed from. 1 Peter 5. Note what Peter says in his writing of the letter, verse number 1. Peter said, the elders, plural, which are among you, he said, I exhort. who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Nobody tell them to do. Now, talking to the elders. Feed. That's where that word comes from. The flock of God, which is among you. Elders' responsibility are to the flock which are among them, that congregation. He said, notice now, taking the oversight, that way you see the word overseer, taking the oversight thereof, they're watching over the flock. And then he tells them how not to do it. He said, thereof, not by constraint. He said, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So Paul, the same thing the Holy Spirit gave to him, inspired him to pen. So then we see that the responsibility of, and I'll share it in the text, it's the responsibility, those shepherds have a responsibility to feed the flock. We have that responsibility to feed the flock. So we see there are three Greek words, that we have six English words that define the responsibility of the men. Yeah. This is the Lord's will. We need these men to step up and to serve this congregation. We are not fully organized until we have the leadership that the Lord. I'm going to talk next about deacons, whose responsibility is of a physical nature. But the shepherds have a spiritual responsibility to care for the sheep. We need those men. Yeah. Think about a home. How challenging it is. You're a single parent trying to raise them children by yourself. Think about it. If you've been in that situation. But how much better when the husband and the wife are working together, raising those children, instilling in them, as I said, virtue, morality, teaching them the word of God, and you're bringing them up and they're balanced. We are not fully organized here until we have these men in place. Yeah. I'm a sheep. I need someone to watch for my soul. I need men here to want to do the work. It's not a title. It's not a position. It's a function. The function is watching over this flock. Paul says a bishop, and we defined it already, then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. Now he starts talking about the positive qualifications of an elder. So we should look for men that have these characteristics. Blameless being something that cannot be laid hold of. You can't pull on nothing on him. You're not able to find a legitimate fault with this person. Blameless. Not that they're perfect. Not that they're sinless. But what the context is saying, this person, as you see in the text, this person is upright. This man is one that has the quality of being honest and fair. He possesses integrity. Yeah. You can put on integrity as much as you want. It won't move. Paul also said he has to be the husband of one wife. has to have a wife. He said vigilant. Vigilant goes to the word that carries with it, similar to the word bishop or overseer, alertly watchful. You need those men that watch for the flock. Yeah, are watchful to the flock. Then he said that person ought to be sober. Sober here means emotionally calm and self-controlled. Yeah. The person's calm. You know. And let me say this to all the brothers. These are good qualities whether you want to be an elder of desire or not. Yeah, these are still good qualities to have. I want to work on myself that I'm able to stay calm. I'm able to control myself. Yeah. I want to be that person. Yeah. But these qualifications are for these individuals. He said, of good behavior, given to hospitality. That word means to show love to a stranger or a guest. You're a person that you make people feel warm and hospitable. You are. That's how I'm not standoffish. I'm not someone you can't approach. As I said to the congregation, that spirit of hospitality, you should be able to come and talk to anyone about anything. And the person don't get offended, don't take it wrongly. And then Paul says he have to be apt to teach. The word apt simply means skilled in teaching. So you need men, these men that serve this congregation of elders, they can teach privately and publicly the word of God. Yeah. These men are men that are teaching Bible classes. You know their knowledge. You see their knowledge. They can teach you the word of God, but also they can teach someone privately the word of God. They're skilled in teaching. That's a qualification. And Paul said, now he talks about things they ought not to be. He says, not given to wine, no striker, not guilty of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. These men, when he says no striker, that's one that engaging in heating verbal argument, you see them fussing with somebody, arguing. Man, I saw so-and-so. Man, they was going at it. That's not the spirit of why? Because the elder is one that is calm and under control. Yeah. And even though somebody else may be going off, you keep yourself. Paul said, not guilty, not greedy or filthy lucre. That's having or showing a selfish desire to have more of something. You know, you're greedy. There's nothing wrong. We talked about nothing wrong with having things, but there's an area where I just have greed. I'm greedy. Paul said this man ought to be patient. What do you mean by patient? Meaning this man looks at someone from a humanly side. And I'm reasonable about the facts of what's going on with him. In other words, this person, not only is he patient, he's a gentle person. And I understand how all of us can fall. All of us can make mistakes. But this person is able to be gentle with this person. You know, that's what Paul was talking about in Galatians 6 and 1. When someone is overtaken in fault, he said, ye which are spiritual, Galatians 6 and 1, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness. So the elder can go to someone that is overtaken in an area. And you can talk with that person and try to encourage that person. You know, you're spiritual. Paul said he's not a brawler. You should never see an elder fighting nobody. Never. Yeah. But let me put something on that though. You do have a right, Nehemiah talked about, you do have a right to defend yourself. Yeah. You can defend yourself. But I say this, I don't start a fight. Yeah. But I have a right to protect myself. Yeah. But what Paul is talking about, brawling, and I think the word connects with the word not giving them much wine. Because oftentimes when you start drinking, you want to get into a... Y'all see it? So that's the connection when Paul said that. Yeah, you're drinking, you start getting too much, and you have too much. Next thing you want, you think you're Superman. Yeah, and Batman. Yeah, and Robin. Yeah. And now you out there, you want to jump in somebody's face and fight somebody. That way you're fighting bars, they get drunk. You lose your inhibition. Yeah, but that's why he said, not given to wine. You're able to control yourself. I'm not drinking. I don't drink. Yeah. And then Paul says he's not covetous. He's not a lover of money. Paul told Timothy, we'll talk about it later on. He says the root of all kinds of evil when you love money. Yeah. When I start loving money, I miss worship for money. Yeah. I know y'all wouldn't do that. I thought I would just say that. Yeah. Somebody would say, well, you can work. No, I got to work today. Is it mandatory? No, I'm doing some overtime. So you're not required to go to work. No, I had to ask for this here, this overtime. Why don't you get a lawyer some overtime? Amen. So I'm telling some of the stuff, we did some good stuff. Yeah. Because sometimes we'll put money before the Lord. The Lord know I got bills. Amen. But I have to put the Lord first in my life. Nothing comes on Sunday worship service, and I prepare for worship service not on Sunday morning. I prepare on Saturday. Proper rest. Get up. As they sang that song, David, woke up this morning with my mind, and it stayed on Jesus. Paul says here, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So Paul lets Timothy know that the man that is going to be an elder, and the word ruleth don't mean to rule. Let me correct that, because sometimes we see the word rule and we think somebody rule. No, the word rule means to lead. Yeah. Husband, you don't rule your family, you lead your family. Yeah. So Paul says here, one that leads his own house well, and his children are under control, to bring them under control, to subjection. And the word with all gravity means they're worthy, you're worthy of respect. So my children respect me. They're under control. I know back in the day, there were parents, when kids would be cutting up, and the parent would just look at them. And the child would just freeze. Because he knew then, if I have to look at you again, and if we have to go outside, yeah. Lord said they need to be under control. Yeah. The old expression, bend the sapling while it's, yeah. See, because they're 18 and 19 years old now, and they're 6'8", but you remember when you were 3. And I put it on you. And it's still there. Boo. Yeah. But again, he leaves his house. And notice the difference now. You lead and not drive. There's a difference. Yeah. Some husbands are trying to drive their family. Make them. No, you lead them. That's what Paul said about in 1 Peter. He talked about being an example to the flock. 1 Peter 5:3. Yeah. So again, you are one that carry yourself. You're worthy of respect. Because Paul said, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take, notice now, care of the church of God? The home is the training ground and proving ground for leadership in the church. So what do I put myself at home? How shall, at home? Look at the man in relationship to his children, how the relationship is. That tells you something, whether they respect him or not. Yeah. Because the Lord says, if you have a man that's not leading his own house, how shall he then take care of the congregation? That's a rhetorical question. Meaning the answer is right there. So we need men that you can see them in their families and their children. They're leading them. The children are well behaved. Yeah, we get the titles. Titles talk about children being unruly. That don't mean that the child is going to be a perfect, but that means that you know that I know that the Lord gave me the responsibility to discipline them. Yeah. You know, and he said, well, what do you mean? Well, discipline comes in itself. Some children you can talk to. You know what I'm saying? Some children are so scared of whooping, all you got to do is say, hey. They just start crying. What you got? I ain't touched you yet. What you crying for? But then there's some children. You know what I'm saying? You better go get you a 2x4. Yeah. But that's learning your children. Watch this. You have members you can go talk to. Sister, I missed you last Sunday. And, missed you last Sunday service. I just want to encourage you. But I'll see you next Sunday at worship service. There's other members. Man, you told me. Yeah, I know I told you that, but I ain't going to. But look here, man. You got to. That makes sense? So that's part of his training ground, raising children, dealing with different personalities. Because in the church, you have different personalities. But you got to learn how to deal with each of them. Yeah. And deal with them individually.
Paul says that this person is not a novice. And then he gives a reason why. He said, least being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. The word novice means one who is inexperienced or a new convert. Yeah. You don't look at a man if he's a new convert to serve in the devil. And Paul gives a reason. He said, because he can be lifted up with pride. And then he fall into the condemnation. Now the devil got him. Yeah.
And then Paul said, my last verse on the text. Now I'll stand the invitation. He said, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
Paul says that this person must have a good report is something that is someone says, it's almost like we say a testimony or witness, a good report. And now the word without means those that are outside of the church. Yeah. Paul said, because he's not, he can fall into reproach or have his reputation hurt. And he can hurt the church. Yeah. That's why the man has to be one that has integrity. These men that are chosen have a good name and reputation among their friends and associates, and their character is unscarred. Yeah. Remember, that's that blameless part. You know, even if you go talk to your neighbor, you know, he's a good man. He's a good man. He's a good man. And, you know, there have been times when I've been to action to watch from my house, and he's a good man. You go to his job. Oh, yeah, he's a good worker, good worker. He's here on time. He's a good employee, good worker. Yeah, that's those that are without in the community. If he's one in the community, speaks well of him. That's the Lord. Because guess what? You don't want to bring no reproach on the church. How you have an elder and you got all that stuff out there on him? If a man desire the office of a bishop. In conclusion, hopefully I've encouraged and motivated those brothers and the wives to look at your husbands, because Highland Heights, this is what we need. We need elders. The Lord says, he gave this to Timothy to say that this is what you, Timothy was going to Ephesus, this is what you need elders and deacons. We need them, church. We need men to look at them themselves and say, again, brothers in this congregation must have a desire to serve as an elder. And that's according to 1 Timothy 3:1. Paul, first thing he said, if a man desire the work of a bishop. Yeah. So how does men become elders? Brothers become bishops or elders for two reasons. Number one, they have been appointed to the work with the consent of those over whom they serve. The congregation, we have to be in a majority of agreement of the men appointed. Amen, someone. Secondly, they are qualified according to the scriptures, watch this now, and are actually performing the work of the eldership. So these men are performing the work. You don't appoint them to do the work. They're already doing the work. They're already caring for the flock. They're already trying to direct those that are here. They're already watching over those. So we need men that, if Brother Stroud, I see the qualifications, I have a desire, I will begin preparing myself to serve in this capacity. We need it. And as the song say, we gotta have it. We need these men. I'm not a pastor. Preach the word of God. to the best of my ability. While I'm here, let me share this. When does an elder no longer be an elder? When they lose their qualifications. When they don't meet the qualifications that are listed, they are no longer an elder. Secondly, when they cease to perform the functions of an elder, they are no longer an elder. Yeah. Now, you may have an elder, may get sick for a time period something happens to him, an accident, emergency happened, and he can't serve for a while, and that's understandable. But if the person can no longer perform the function, he's no longer an elder. So we need men, again, this is a work. This is a work. They function as elders. They watch for the soul. So I hope this morning, as we look at the Word of God, we can see those things. You see those men out. We need those men that meet these qualifications. That can say, Brother Stroud, I'm looking at those qualifications. And I say it like this here. Those qualifications, some of them, it's like putting your coat in a sleeve. Sometimes the sleeve is too long and you have to grow into it. Till it fit. But I got to have them qualifications to start off with. Now, some of them may have to be developed, is what I'm saying. But I still must possess those qualifications. So, Highland Heights, I want us to pray, each of us to pray, that the Lord, He knows what we need. Peter said that. And that the Lord will send us those men. Or those men here will rise up and say, I want this congregation. I love this congregation. And I'm going to serve in that capacity. Watch over the sheep. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to nourish them. I'm going to feed them the same thing that a mother does to her children. Yeah. The Bible, 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says, the mothers nurse their children. Mean the same thing. Care for it. And so we need men that will take that responsibility up here at Highland Heights. Serve this congregation. Let us pray that God's will be done. And we do that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I'm talking to you now. I think I was sharing with the congregation. Thank you for your patience and your listening ear as we stay with the Word of God. And so if you want to stay with me the next time I stand before you, I'm picking up with 1 Timothy 3:8. We're going to talk about those, the deacons. We need deacons also along with elders. Separate positions. We need them. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, or you're listening online and you're not a Christian, how does one become a child of God? Well, the Bible says in our Timothy letter, the Bible tells us Paul shared what Jesus did when he said he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And then we define the word ransom as being something paid for the release of someone from captivity. All of us at one time was held captive to sin. Every one of us. Jesus paid the price where it says Christ gave up his life in an atonement for our sin. And it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions stated in the Bible. Jesus was a propitiation, 1 John 2 and 2. So what are the conditions, Brother Stroud? The conditions are, first, Jesus said, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So first thing you must do, you must hear the word of God, but not only just the word of God, specifically from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, you must hear the three facts of what is called the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for your sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. That's what you must hear. Then you got to believe it. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. You got to believe that Jesus did what he did. He died for your sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. You have to believe that. Paul wrote it to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Then Jesus said, I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And the word perish means to be destroyed or to be lost. If a person does not repent, repentance means I turn from the life I'm living and I turn toward the Lord, turn toward God. It begins with repentance in the mind, then my behavior changes. I got to repent. Then Jesus said also, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You have to confess Jesus Christ, which is found in Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You make that confession. Then after you make that confession, what we'll do then, the Bible says, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. That's what I just shared to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So you not only have to believe the gospel, you have to be baptized. And then if you're baptized, the Bible tells us what happens then, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. You are saved from your past sin. The Lord himself, not man, the Lord adds you to the church according to the scriptures. What is the church? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers called out from the world over which Christ rules as your head. Christ now becomes your head. He's the head of the church. Christ becomes your head. And then the Bible tells what church? The Bible tells us, does a descriptive phrase when it says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ. Christ paid for it with his blood. It belongs to him. And so if there's someone today that would like to respond to the gospel message, if you're on the call, listen to our message, you can call in and let the person you want, let them know that you want to be baptized, and we'll make it happen. You are not a child of God. You're not a Christian until you do the conditions, or obedient to the conditions that the Lord said. I think sometimes, you know, and I'm learning that I want to take my time to make sure people clearly understand this, because their salvation is related to whether they obey God. And I want them to be clear on what I'm saying and show them in scripture what the Lord says they do. So you're here and, you're a good person. I don't do nothing to nobody. I don't hurt nobody, but you are not obedient to the Lord. You can't go to heaven not being obedient. We all need to be obedient. So if you're here today and you're subject to the invitation, as Brother David come up, we bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much for your patience.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. Hear, oh, hear him calling, calling now for thee.
If anyone wants to respond.
Though you've wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice. Calling still, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come.